love the person. Second section. Is it?
This is the overview.
It will start the verse. Get it?
सपर्यदा शुक्रम कायम अभ्रणम अश्नाभिरम शुद्धम पाप विद्धम कवीर मनीषी हरिभु स्वयंभु याथाकृतो अर्थान गदा शाशुपी व्यस्तमाद्य
Translation.
Such a person must actually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated. Self-existent, is a personal desire since time immemorial.
Sir, you want to start with sir. Sir means he or that person. So who is that person? That person who in the previous verses is able to see ekatto manupashita. So many times in Sanskrit it's a continuous way where first this person is referred to as here or yes. Yasmin sarvani bhutani, yasu sarvan, yasu sarva bhutani. Then later on in the same person we refer to sir. So sir, that person, sapadega chukram. Akaya mavata. The person should know that absolute truth to be all these qualities. Now, in these, some of the words are very precise. Paragash Shukram. Shukram is all part of Shukram. Akayam Abhranam. Now, Akayam literally means no kaya, no body. Now, Prabhupada translates in a very interesting way. He translates it as not having no body, but the unembodied. That means, generally the soul becomes embodied with a material body. So that absolute truth is not embodied with a material body. It is in that sense that akayam. Now the straightforward translation of akayam would be that he has no body. And why is Prabhupada translating as unembodied? Because we will see what is being said later. One of the things that he said is avranam. So paryagashukam akayam avranam. Ashnavidam. Ashnavidam means without any veins. Now, if it is already stated that he has no body, then there is no need to again say that he has no veins. Isn't it? If you are going to say that, you know, he does not have any hair, then there is no need to say that he does not have a hair on his forehead or on top of his head. He does not have hair, no, he does not have it. So, Ashnaviram, he does not have any veins, indicates that there is something deeper going on here. So, it indicates that the earlier Akayam means that he does not have a body, but he does not have a body which is made up of veins. So, when we reconcile the two together, then we understand that Srila Prabhupada's translation is very meaningful. Ashnaviram Shuddham Apavadham. That is pure and purifying. Prabhupada translates this. Antiseptic and prophylactic. So antiseptic means that it prevents future infection, it cures current infection, and prophylactic means it prevents future infection. Kavi Manishi Parihu Swayambhu. So Kavi is very learned, Manishi, philosopher, Parihu Swayambhu, powerful and self-assured. Yathakito Tham Jaladhar Shashati Vidyat Samam. So with eternal time, what are we doing? He has been fulfilling our desires. Yatha Kito. Yatha means according to our prakar, according to our qualification. So this is the Yathama of representation.
Let's go over the review.
Master Prabhupada's purport, he is going over the important points in this verse, one by one in his purport. So, let's read the purport, and then we come to some points.
Here is a description which has led to an eternal form of the absolute personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is not formless. He has his own transcendental form, which is not at all similar to the forms of the Godhead world. The forms of the living entities in this world are the body of determination, and they work like any material machine. The anatomy of the material body must have a mechanical construction in veins and so forth. The transcendental body of the Supreme Lord has nothing like things. It is clearly stated here that he is part of body, which means that there is no difference between his body and his soul. Nor is he forced to accept the body according to the laws of nature, as we are. In materially conditioned life, the soul is different from the gross embodiment of unsettled mind. For the Supreme Lord, however, there is never any such difference between him and his body and mind. He is a complete whole, and his mind, body, and he himself are all one and the same.
So, we will discuss a little bit more later, but just this point before this. There are three kinds of differentiations: Sujatiya, Vijatiya, and Swagata. So, which have to be absent in the Lord, because the Lord is one substance. So, internal differentiation is, now for example, if the Lord is the absolute person, then we can point out this is his head, these are his legs, these are his arms, this is his belly. So when we point out like this, then we are creating differentiation. The absolute truth is one, sarvam kalmam idam brahma. This is Vedic sociology, is that the absolute truth is one non-differentiated feeling. So now, if there is no differentiation in the Lord, then how can he have a personality? If we were, one reason why Mayavadi said that absolute truth is formless is because form introduces differentiation. You know, when there is a form, there is a head, there are arms, there are legs. And obviously there is difference. Now, if there is absolute truth, there is no differentiation in the absolute truth. And the scriptures do say this. But we have to understand that there are deeper principles that work. What are the principles? Angani yasya sakalendriyabhutimanti. So, the Lord has eyes, but his eyes can work like his hands. The Lord has hands, but they can work like his eyes. So, when we say that the Krishna has this part on his head, this part on his legs, this is a difference not of substance but only of reference. In the difference of substance. You know, Krishna's eyes, now our eyes are made up of, you know, some soft flesh like substance, our legs are made of bones, then our fingers are eye nails. There is difference of substance in them, and then the difference of shape and function and everything. But in Krishna, there is no difference of substance. His whole body is made up of Satchitananda. Just like sometimes on a birthday, we may have a cream cake made. And that's when the cream cake is made, the cream is spread over the top of the cake. But we may even make, in the small baby whose birthday is there, we may take that cream and make that into the shape of a baby. Now when we make the cream into the shape of a baby, there is differentiation. Yeah, there is the head, there are the eyes, there are the legs. But everything is made of the same substance. So the hand and the leg, the head, the belly, everything is made of the same substance. So the difference is not of substance. So like that in our case, there is a difference of substance. So in Krishna, there is no differentiation because his hand, leg, head, everything is made of the same substance. And that's why Prabhupada says, between his mind, between his body and himself. There is no difference. There is no internal difference between them. And whatever difference is there, it is only a difference of reference. Reference means Krishna can eat even through his legs. But Krishna wants to reciprocate the loving way with his devotees. And that is why he will eat through his mouth. But Krishna can be from anywhere. So when you don't understand Krishna's form, all his limbs are equipotent, all his limbs are omnipotent. All his limbs are equal power, and what is that equal power? It is supreme power. So all his limbs are equipotent and omnipotent. And the difference is only of reference. It is not of substance. So in that sense, the Mayavadis say that actually you have to go beyond Brahman. You have to go beyond the one, the formless. No, actually the Mayavadi has the idea that the impersonal Brahman, because we cannot meditate on the Brahman takes up a form for our thinking. And that form is the form of Devatas. And we meditate on that form till, so that we from the lower mode we rise to the mode of goodness. And once we have come to the mode of goodness, then we go beyond the form. That is the idea of deity worship also. If you have more passion in the world, then say that you use the deity as a tool to rise. Prabhupada will give an example of a ladder. You use the ladder to rise up and then you kick away the ladder. So what is the ladder for? The ladder, according to them, is for rising from modes of ignorance and passion to goodness. And once we come to goodness, then we go beyond the form to formlessness. Now this idea, directly recognized by Krishna, is a Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know the words? Brahmano hi pratishtha, yathan is a code of Brahman. That's very good verse, 14:26. This idea that Bhagavan is a manifestation of, in a temporary manifestation of Brahman. That Brahman is the source and Bhagavan is the outgrowth from that. Can you know a verse to do that? Mattaha parataram nāmiyāt. Not more for Thalya than me. Very clear in one. Now, Krishna is saying that there is another verse. Avyakta yaktim āpanna manyante mā arudhyaha. Very parambha vijanito. You don't understand the Supreme Nature. You think that I was impersonal before and I have become personal. Very clear words. Some words are like actually 18:54 in the morning. At that time, when you attain Brahman realization, then you start bhakti. That one, this one is 7:24. These are very, very strong words. So, 14:26, what? If you have reported 14:26, 18:54, 7:24, these are all very strong words. Of course, one more is 9/11. 9/11 is? Not 9/11 of the disaster in America. 9/11 is Abhijanandi Mahamunha. So, they are very clear verses. But I personally found 7:24 is very, very clear. Because they clearly state how we are stuck, we are still apanna, manyandri mahamunha. So therefore, in Krishna, there is a form. There are eyes, there are eyebrows, there is hair, there are hair. But there is no difference of substance. There is only a difference of reference. Yes, because Krishna wants to reciprocate love with his devotee. So, his form is differentiated. But there is no difference of substance. All differences are omnipotent, equipotent and omnipotent. Now, if you are to point out to a person, okay, you know, you might say, here is a face, here is leg. You know, if you just have one substance, non-differentiated, like we have a chapati bola, it's all not the same substance, but there is no place to refer over there. Where do you refer? So, okay, this is the left part, this is the right part, this is the top part, this is the bottom part. But this is what I say. Now, Krishna, when he reciprocates and loving with his devotee, so he manifests. Determined form is manifested as a person. And in fact, that form is the source of everything else. So the point here is that, actually, we are not so much aware of the original Upanishads. But the Upanishads, what they say is that Brahman cannot have any internal differentiation. Because Brahman is one substance which pervades all of existence. So if there's one substance for which all of existence, you remember earlier we were discussing that earlier one was discussing satkarevala, satkarevala. So this matter, is it existing as a part of Brahman or is it existing separate from Brahman or is it full of Brahman? Because if there are two, when Shankaraya says Brahma satya jagam nitya, you know that is not entirely false. in the sense that actually, why is he trying to say this? Because the Upanishads say, Sarvam Kalpitam Brahma. Everything that exists here is Brahma. So Brahma is the only nafsu that exists here. But then we see that the world also exists. So how do we make sense of this? Then the example for that is, the sun reflected in the water. When the reflection of the sun is affected, the sun is not affected. So this material world is the external energy of the Supreme Lord. Now in the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord, is there any differentiation? There is no differentiation in that soul. In as far as substance is concerned, the Supreme Absolute Truth is eternally perfect. Okay, another point here to illustrate this. See, the standard understanding of God is that God is perfect. Now if God is perfect, then He should not be changed. Because if something is perfect, what is the need for it to change? So the idea is a little mundane idea superimposed on God. It's like when you are drawing a painting. And this painting is drawn, put a dab here, put a line here, put a dash here, put a smudge here. And then as the painting is growing, at one particular point, the painting becomes perfect. If you put one paint more on it, it will go down. The effort will go down. And if one paint is less, again the effort will go down. So, the idea is the painting becomes perfect at one stage. And then, we should not touch it. Because if you change it, it's like the idea is a graph which peaks and comes down. Before that it is less and perfect, after that it is less and perfect. At that point it is perfect. So, the idea of God, often in Western thought, is that God is a frozen perfection. God has to be perfect. And if He has to be perfect, why would we make Him change? If He changes, the only reason He will change is because in the prior stage is not perfect. And if He was imperfect earlier, then He was not God. So how can God be perfect and at the same time be changing? That is the fundamental problem. So the idea is that God cannot be changing. Because if God has to be perfect, then the perfection has to be preserved. So first the perfection has to be preserved. Change may cause that perfection to go away. And second is that if God is already perfect, then what is the reason for him to change? For Him to cause any change at all? So what is the reason for Him to even create this world or create anyone? He's perfect. So now, this understanding of God as a frozen perfection is a material imposition on God. So God is perfect in the sense that He is self-satisfied. He is self-satisfied. But although He is perfect, there are two kinds of relationships in this material world. For example, generally a man when he comes to his adolescent age, a young boy when he comes to the adolescent age, he starts feeling, I am incomplete. You know, I need a better half. Of course, a better half will make his life work, but he feels it is a better half. So he feels, I need a better half. The idea is, he is incomplete, and he feels that if I get another person in my life will become complete. So everybody in this world feels a sense of incompleteness. I have this mobile, but I want a better mobile. I have this house, I want a bigger house. So people are activated in life because they feel incomplete and they think that achieving certain things will become complete. In fact, it's completeness of God or completeness and perfection of the thing. Om Purna Madha Purna, we talk about in the Isha Upanishad right in the beginning also. So, if God is perfect and complete, Prabhupada uses the word perfect and complete for Purna. So, then why does He have to act? In this world, people act because they feel incomplete. And in completeness, they want to act. But what the impersonalists don't take into account is there is another kind of completeness, another kind of activity. One kind of activity is to achieve completeness. Another kind of activity is to express and share completeness. That means when a spiritual master teaches his message, it is not that he is feeling incomplete. He is only satisfied with the relationship with Krishna. He is satisfied and he wants to share that satisfaction with others. He doesn't need anything from it. And he is satisfied in the relationship with Krishna. But he says, I am satisfied, let me share this with others. So, Supreme Master's preaching is not because of feeling any sense of incompleteness. It is feeling of so self-satisfied that he feels, I want to share this with others. And the classic example of this is Lord Maharaj's verse. You see that there is simultaneous completeness and incompleteness. All of many sources of knowledge. Taibos vijay para duraste vaitaranya tvadvīradāyan mahāmrita magna chitthaha. So the first part of this was very interesting. He is saying, I have no fear of how to cross beyond the middle ages. Why? Because in glorifying you, my consciousness is completely absorbed. You know how Maya tempts us? Maya tempts us by making us feel that we are missing something in life. You can die. Come on, do this, you'll get this. Yeah. Take this and then you'll enjoy. My always makes us feel that we are incomplete. Something is missing in our lives. And then by following the dictates of Maya, we will achieve completeness. That is the notions Maya creates in our mind. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, because my dear Padvirya Gayan, Mahamrita Magma Chitta. He says, not just Amrit, it's Mahamrit. The supreme nectar, great nectar, I which I am so satisfied that Maya can't tempt me. Because therefore I have no distress, no fear of how to cross beyond Maya. But he says, at the same time, although I am thinking with Mahamrita, still I am feeling incomplete. Shochi tato vimukha chetaka indriyartham. Those who are not relishing with completeness, they have turned away from you for finding completeness as an identification. And in the process of trying to find the completeness, they are becoming more and more burdened. Maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimukha udvahato. They are just carrying a big burden of Maya. I want to remove their burden. I want to make them happy. So, a devotee can be simultaneously complete and incomplete. The devotee can feel that, why can't the Lord feel that? So the Lord, sometimes some devotees ask, no, Krishna has come here, we have left Krishna and come to the Lord, and we are suffering like dogs here. Heat, cold, sickness, misunderstanding. Is Krishna also suffering? Is Krishna concerned about us? Or is Krishna happy? Abhi the gopis dancing and singing, Gopal's playing, and he is unconcerned about us. So what do you think? Is Krishna happy? Or is Krishna happy with Vajivasi? Or is Krishna concerned about the suffering folks?
Suffering was child, affects the father, but not directly. Pain and terror from the body of the child are not directly felt by the father, but still they are felt in one way, both child is suffering. So that is, God also suffers, but not directly.
The Lord also suffers, yes. The Prabhupada gives this example in the state that we are connected with Krishna, Krishna is feeling the suffering. Now, Krishna is surely feeling the suffering, but at the same time, any other answers? Yes.
Krishna
is present in Kaurava Maharaj, he has
come to the
Supertour.
So, in order to,
so he comes back and forth, he comes back. And then, when he expanded the Supertour, he was concerned to us. Chakravarti Pat explained that Krishna, he is, because he is omnipotent, he not only can be present at different places, but he can also experience different emotions at the same time. So Krishna can simultaneously be concerned about our suffering and that sense we are saying. And the same time Krishna can be excited and reciprocating love of the devotees. That's the meaning of Krishna, that's the meaning of God. So they now say the gopis are telling Krishna, let us dance to us. Krishna is saying, you know, this soul is so stupid. Again and again falling into Maya. I am fed up with this soul. I don't know what to do about it. You know, Krishna knows it's there. Krishna is fully available for each devotee in the material world. Sometimes you want to meet a person, but that person has to meet somebody else. And he is not available for us. But Krishna is not available. Krishna is fully available for each one of us because he is omnipotent. So, Krishna can be simultaneously complete, feeling completeness in terms of being fully satisfied in his relationship with his devotees. At the same time, concerned about that. So, this is the point that God is perfect. God is made of one substance. Because if He is made of multiple substances which are changing, then that oneness of God, the perfection of God, will be lost. So now, how can we reconcile God's activity with His perfection? His perfection is His natural state. And activity is not because of a sense of incompleteness, but it is the desire to share the completeness with others. So He shares the completeness with His devotees in the spiritual world, and He extends in the material world to share that completeness with us. So, now if we ask the question, why did God create this world? If we ask Shankaracharya this question, what is the answer? Yeah, it's an irrelevant question. There is no God, there is no creation, there is no creator. Now Ramanacharya, now why did God create this world? So now the problem is, natasya karya karanam javitya. That the Lord has no karya to do. Then why did God create this world? So Ramanacharya explains, this world is created as a leela of God. As a leela. Tam leela ya. So he says, work is what you do because you have to do it. And leela or play, is that which you do? You are not obligated to do it, but you do it because you feel pleasure in doing it. So therefore, he says that if the Lord is obligated by someone, you have to do this, then he is not perfect, then he is not complete. He is dependent on someone else. And that's why he says, the Bhagavad Gita says, namam karmani santi, name karma pale suha. That I do not desire the fruits of any work, nor does any work bind me. But, Bandhya Vidya Bhushan takes the analogy further. And he says, actually, even when we play is not an obligation, but play is also done for something. That is pleasure. So if the Lord is creating this world also as a play, then it is for pleasure. And if it is for pleasure, then that means the Lord was not experiencing pleasure at least. Then that would also be incomplete. So he refines the analogy, isn't it? Actually, this world is not like a play of the Lord, it's like the dance of the Lord. What is the difference between the play and the dance? He says, when we dance, we don't dance to become happy, we dance because we are happy. So, the dancing is a natural, spontaneous expression of the happiness overflowing into the motion of our hands and legs. So, he says that actually, because the nature of Bhagavan is anandapurna, full of happiness, so that happiness of the Lord overflows and expresses itself in the activity that leads in the creation of this world. Now, you may wonder that if the world is a result of Lord's joyful dance, then why is this world miserable? So, he said that there are things you have to see from different perspectives. So, from the Lord's perspective, this world is an expression of His overflowing happiness. But, first of all, does the Lord have to create this world at all? The spiritual world is perfect. Why does the Lord have to create this world at all? So, as Acharya explained, that the existence of free will necessitates the existence of a place where the free will can be executed. That's why this world is necessary. This world is necessary for the perfect, not necessarily for the perfect existence, because the perfect existence is there in the spiritual world. But if the soul has to have free will, there is no meaning to free will. The soul cannot have an arena where to express the free. If I say, during the class you are free to dance as much as you want, but you are not allowed to move from the place where you are sitting. What is the meaning of the truth? So, if I am giving freedom, freedom means there has to be an arena to express the free. So like that, in this script that the soul wants to enjoy separate from Krishna, there is no spiritual world is not the place for that. So the spiritual world is where everybody is serving Krishna. Therefore, this world is an arena created by God for the soul to express its freedom. Now, how then is this a result of the Lord's ananda? The ananda is not experienced in this world, but the ananda is experienced when we return from this world back to the spiritual world. So the Lord could have condemned those souls who want to go even forever into an eternal miserable existence. But this world serves two purposes. First is experimentation. And second is rectification. Experimentation means those who want to enjoy separate from Krishna, they can experiment with different ways, different toys. Actually, everything is a toy in this world. The sense objects are a toy, power is a toy, position is a toy, possessions are toys. as we say, the one who dies with the maximum toy, he wins. That is the idea of Western. See, they also understand the toy. The toy, actually, whether it's cars or houses or mobiles or computers, or even sense objects, right? People have relationships with some people, all those are actually toys. And in fact, these toys are provided for the soul for experimentation, trial, what will make you happy. And then, when the soul realizes, oh, these things cannot make me happy, then the world also offers the facility for rectification. The world has these two words, experimentation, rectification. So, now, at the end, after the experimentation and the rectification, when the soul returns back, then the soul is restored to his joyful nature. So in the intermediate stage, the soul experiences suffering. But that suffering is necessary for him to return to use his free will properly, to be inspired to make proper use of his free will, and then re-experience the happiness. So the imperfection of this world is not caused by God's imperfection. The imperfection of this world is caused by our imperfect use of our free will. And when we use our free will imperfectly, wrongly, then we experience the consequences. But this world is the perfect place for us, for both, for experimenting separate from God and also for turning back towards God. So the story example also has another very important significance. That just as when a child grows up, the child becomes a teenager. The same toys over which he was so mad when a child, can he enjoy it now? We all of them had some guns, toy guns, or some dog shaped toys or whatever. Now if we are shown them now, what happens? How foolish I was missing when I was missing. So it's like that. So when we chant Hare Krishna and practice social life, we grow up spiritually. And when we grow up spiritually, then the toys no longer attract us. Just a child, by his growth, outgrows the toys, and the toys lose their charm for him. Like that, if a devotee, as he grows up spiritually, sense of this lose their charm. And we can practically see now people become so mad for cricket. But you can see, it's so absurd. Isn't there to be so worked up about? It's a toy. So, if you keep active Krishna consciousness, all the other sense objects also, they don't appear like toys to us. Although they appear as a source of real pleasure to us. But the problem is, that is because, you know, cricket as a toy, you just stop playing with it. See, as long as even if an old man also keeps playing with the toy, that's like sometimes you see old people playing video games. Yeah, as long as they keep playing it, they will keep getting some sense of pleasure with it. And then they can't really, it's just a toy. I have to outgrow it. So what happens with cricket or other sports, whatever it means, you just stop playing the toy. And you stop playing the toy, then you understand actually it's just a toy. But as long as you keep playing it, we don't see it just as a toy. We see it as a source of pleasure. So with respect to sex and sexual gratification, we actually mentally keep playing with the toy. And that's why we don't outgrow them. That's why they keep seeming appealing to us. But when we give that up, then we become detached from it. Then we start realizing, actually, it's a challenge. So, in this way, this world is perfect. And the perception of this world is that it offers perfect opportunity for forgetting Krishna for those who want it, and offers perfect opportunity for returning back to Krishna for those who want it.
God should not. What is the reason for God to perform any action at all?
That's why, you know, our acharyas clearly different between tattva and lila. As far as tattva is concerned, Krishna is perfect and complete. But that perfection and completeness is not a static perfection and completeness. Krishna in all situations is performing Leela. Throughout his Leela is perfect and complete. Even Krishna is searching for butter. And he is feeling incomplete because he does not have butter. Because that also is his perfection. Why? Because he is perfectly playing the role of a naughty child. And through that role of a naughty child, he is going to be perfect joy to Mother Yashoda. Oh, how sweet my child is, how mysterious my child is. In the Western tradition, they don't have much knowledge of the spiritual world. Because they don't have much knowledge of the spiritual world, they don't have the concepts only of spiritual activity. And because they don't have the concept of spiritual activity, they think that the perfection is static perfection. There, so Ravindra Swarupa says, when he would go to church, he would ask the priest, okay, you are saying that we will go back to heaven, but what does God do in heaven? And what do we do in heaven? So the priest looked like if he had never got that thought of it. And he asked many priests, and basically, the idea that he got from them was the life in heaven is like a perpetual family reunion on Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon, all your relatives come in and you take tea and you chit chat. So all your grandfather and grandmother and this relative and that relative, all of them are passed away. We'll all come back and we'll meet and okay, that's not at all exciting. It's boring. Life in this world is more exciting. So many new relationships and new adventures to have. So the concept of spiritual activity is not present in the Western religious traditions, because of the incomplete understanding of spiritual realm, and unfortunately the impersonalists, by their world jugglery, they make the Vedic revolution of spiritual activity, which is a unique contribution of the Vedic literature to world theology. It's a unique revolution, Leela. There is no concept of Leela in any of the other literature of the world. So, but unfortunately they reduce the Leela of the Lord to mythology. So that is the unique strength of our Vedic theology. They make it into mythology. And that's why it's a very disastrous thing. So, yes, they don't understand the concept of activity.
The example of Jnana Rupa generally here says that the right in any book, but sitting in a room, he seems very dissatisfied, but next would be he has some more people, so the client is there.
So now, the Upanishad also says, Eko Bahusyan, the one became many, Anandayo Abhyasa, we read that in the morning today. So, now the question is, if God were one and he became many, if he is joyful, then why would he become many? That's why I explained, Acharya said that there are two kinds of activity. One is to fill the incompleteness, other is to share and relish the completeness. So share the completeness with us. So the Lord actually, his pastimes are self-revealing and self-fulfilling. Yeah, one of our acharyas, Jiva Goswami, uses this word, and in the translation of Jiva Goswami Sandarbal, they are self-revealing and self-fulfilling. Self-revealing means it is not that Krishna is creating something new. When he reciprocates, when he reciprocates the gopis, you know, his beauty is revealed to the world more. To the gopis more. And if the gopis are satisfied by that, gopis beauty increases more. And when gopis beauty increases more, Krishna's happiness increases more. So in this way, Krishna's pastimes are self-revealing and self-fulfilling. So they are not dependent on anything outside of himself. He reveals his own beauty, and when he reveals his own beauty, he feels satisfied by that. They are self-revealing and self-fulfilling. Jiva Goswami is another example in the Pitti Sandarbha. He says that just as there is air in the body. When the air in the body is just going up and down, that leads to breathing and survival. But that up and down movement of the air does not lead to any joy. But then, if you take the air out and you start singing a song, sometimes people sing, you know, like a whistle, they make a whistle with it, not sing, they whistle with it. When they whistle with it, what happens? There is a sweeter sound. And there is some more pleasure with that. But now, if you take a flute, and the same air which is inside the body, it comes out through, and it enters the flute through the front hole, and it goes through the flute, and it comes out of the hole of the flute. Then what happens? The sweetness of that sound increases much, much more. So, he says that the air moving up and down is like Nirvishesh Brahmananda. So, all that it does is, it just allows existence at the spiritual level. The souls who are existing in the Brahman is existing. There is only existence at the spiritual level, but there is not much happiness over there. So, when that sound, that air, comes out as a whistle, that is like that absolute truth who is Brahman, he meditates on himself. He meditates on himself. You know, because there are past and past times that Krishna is in Dwarka, and Krishna looks at a pillar. And the pillar are also like mirrors, because they are made of shining marble. Such a beautiful person. Or there is that past time Krishna is a small baby and he is feeling butter. And suddenly he looks around and he thinks, so there is somebody else who is looking at him. Take the butter pot. Don't tell anyone, don't tell Mother Yashoda, I will also give some butter. Krishna is charmed by his own form. So, when Krishna meditates on himself, he feels greater happiness. So, one is just existence at a spiritual level. That is, like the air moving up and down in the elementary canal, or the respiratory canal. But, when the air comes out and it is used to play a whistle, then that is like Krishna meditating on himself. But when the same air comes out with a flute, so the flute is like a devotee. So, when Krishna's beauty, the Krishna's beauty is seen by the devotee, and the devotee sees Krishna's beauty, the devotee becomes so attracted, so charmed, so attracted. And then that attraction, that the gopi see Krishna's beauty, they become so happy. And that happiness expresses as that smile, as that big eyes, as that charm, which all increases. And that increases, and Krishna beholds the beauty of the gopis, increase the beholding his beauty, is happiness. So in this way, when Krishna, now there are two important points over here. First is that the air which went into the flute is from the body of that same person. He has not taken anything outside of himself for his enjoyment. It is his own air which is giving better enjoyment because it is rooting through to something else. So like that, it is Krishna's own beauty that he uses in relations, but expressed through the heart and the faces and the eyes of the gopis. Another thing is that now in this example, the flute is something external to that person. The flute is something external which is using. But the gopis are Krishna's own part and parcel. The gopis are not something which is separate from Krishna. They are one with Krishna because Namai Mamsha Jiva Loki. So they are his own part and parcel. So what is happening is, Krishna, sometimes we say Krishna is dependent on his devotees for his happiness. You know, Krishna depends on his Aham Bhakta Paradino, Ya Asvatantari Bhadvijaha. Oh, I am dependent on my devotees, I am not independent. But he explains, Jiva Sanjit, this is actually the heart of the Lord coming out. So, he gives a further example that many thousands of people are attracted to millionaires. A millionaire, wherever he is going, people want to take a signature, people want this, people want that from him. Now, why are they attracted to him? It's because of his wealth. If he did not have the wealth, the people would not be attracted to him. Similarly, when people are attracted to, when Krishna is attracted to his devotee, he is attracted to their devotion. And where has the devotion come from? That devotion has come from Krishna. That devotion is not something which they possess innately. That devotion has come from Krishna. In Markandeya Rishi's prayers to Lord Krishna, that Chakravarti Parvati's commentary describes, my dear Lord, who can be as magnanimous as you? He says, actually, it is you who by your sweetness fill your devotee's senses with ecstasy when they serve you. When the devotees chant your holy name, dance, behold your beautiful form, how are they doing that? It is because you are placing your sweetness in their senses. But he says, you are such a grateful Lord that first you inundate your devotee's senses with sweetness, and when the devotees feel happy by tasting your sweetness, you feel grateful to them that they are so happy in your devotion. He says, where can you find a master like this? And he only feels happiness, and when he becomes happy, he feels happy. So he says, who can be more kind than the Lord? So even if the Krishna is dependent on the devotee, he is attracted to devotees because of their devotion. And that devotion is manifested because of Krishna's own qualities. So ultimately, Krishna is not dependent on anyone else. Krishna is self-satisfied. He is independent. But that independence is manifested in a different way, in different situations. So in this way, Krishna is perfect. At the same time, he is dynamic. The person is not using anything external of himself and is letting the air from his mouth be rooted to a flute. But at the same time, he makes everything negative. So that is Krishna's own beauty is reflected through the devotee's heart, it becomes to greater expanded and it is greater happiness. Okay?
It is when the devotees are there, but I give an example of person alone and there is nobody there. So becoming Atmaram, but in order to increase the enjoyment, some people are there, we expand, they can interact with by which present feeling. So here nobody is there, Krishna is bringing it Atmaram and he expands it to increase the pleasure, but here he is not happy. So then we can say he is dancing and then things happen.
No, Eko Bahusyam and verses like that, that the one we came in, we discussed this earlier, that is said that Ekasmana Vatpura Veda Deha Vedam Gatautam. That one absolute who became two as Krishna, now the two have become one as Lord Chaitanya. So these sort of verses are not in the time of Vishnu Shastras. There are lots of questions. So, now philosophy is not that the soul is created, the body is created. The souls are also eternal. Eternal means there are no beginning and no end. So in the spiritual world, he exists outside the time dimension. Therefore, when we are talking about creation, it is creation of the material world. So now for us, when he exists within the time dimension, we try to ask how things happen, why are they created? Then we are given an explanation within the time dimension. One of the fundamental aspects which Prabhupada also explains in the Bhagavad Gita purport, introduction, is that out of Jiva, Ishwar, Kal, Karma and Prakriti, except for karma, all four are eternal. So, if all four are eternal, how can they be created at any particular time? In fact, Krishna says, Ajoki Janabdeyatma. Now, the soul is Ajaha, unborn. What does it mean? Naive way to make it mean that if it's unborn, it doesn't exist only. It's foolish. The unborn means it is not subject to the process of birth and death. It is beyond the process of birth and death because the soul is beyond time. So, these are more of philosophical explanations rather than a time limitation in speech. So, yes. Yes. Nimesha Bhakyo Vrajati Nahi Atrapi Samaya. Samaya, the time, Nimesha Bhakyo. Ardha, even half a Nimesha, it does not pass away. The time is conspicuous like absence. That's what it is said. Now, that is true. We also look, if we look at a books for advanced bhajan, like Govinda Nilamrut, it is a very advanced, you should not read them. But at this stage at least. But Govinda Lila describes in detail the Ashtya Prahariya Lila of the Lord. The Ashtya Prahariya Lila means which past tense he performs at what time. So he describes precisely So from 6:30 to 10:21, Krishna performed this fast. And from 10:21 to 1:33, he performed this fast. And from 1:33, and let's see, I don't remember the exact figures, you know. So they may not be accurate. But as you see, that level of accuracy is good. 1:33 to 3:37, Krishna performed this fast. What does this mean? We wonder whether you know Krishna also has to watch at the clock and now he's meeting with the Gopi, the tiger's going to have to go. No, it doesn't mean that. See, time in this world has two aspects because of which it is in control. It has a controlling aspect and a destroying aspect. Let me see how Krishna defines time. Kalosi Lokakshetra. Time Maya is the destroyer of all lovers. So, time has a destroying aspect and a controlling aspect. We may be doing something very wonderful. But then, we may necessitate a simple mass. But then, we have got 15 minutes and the time is over. And then Maharaj said, now we have to go Bharata Ganadani. Time is over. So, time controls us. And time deteriorates and destroys us. Now, in the spiritual world, time is present without its controlling and destroying us. So what does time do? Time simply transforms. What does it transform? It does not change Krishna. In fact, in the Goswami's literature, again, I don't remember the exact figures, but describes that Radharani's eternal age is 14 years, 1 month and 3.5 days. The figures may not be exact, but it's like that. And Krishna's eternal age is 15 years, 9 months and 3.5 days. So what do you mean by eternal age? How can you have eternal age? That means Krishna manifests the form which is eternally of that age. So, and that is the form which manifests eternally. So, in that sense, what does time do in the spiritual world? Time provides for variety in Krishna's pastimes. Variety in Krishna's pastimes means, in the morning, Krishna has Vatsalya pastimes. Means mother dresses him, feeds him, bathes him. Then in the daytime when he goes out, he has Sakshara's pastimes. Sometimes the gopis have also gone out and he meets them out there, so he has the Madhura's pastimes also. But daytime is only Sakshara's pastimes. And when he comes back in the evening, again there is Vatsalya's pastimes. And then, at night, he has Madhura's pastimes. So the flow of time, what does it do? It allows Krishna to have different pastimes. But, whenever any pastime is going on, if Krishna is releasing their pastime, he can press a pause button. You figure it in the future. And he can expand the time. He can expand the time so that he can release that pastime that is removed. So time does not control him. But time makes sure, provides the facility by which various kinds of pastimes can be performed. So time is present, very much present in the social world, but time is not controlling. And Anandavan Champu, Kalikaranapur also explains that you know, Krishna's Yauvana Rupa, Krishna has three pastimes. Three ages in his life. There is a Kaumara Rupa, Kauvanda Rupa, and Kishora Rupa, or Yauvana Rupa, Kishora Rupa. So he says, that each of these are especially suited for one kind of pastime. The Kumara Rupa is the Vatsalya Rasa Vigraha. The Kumara Rupa, he says that. And that means, Mother Yashoda, if she sees Krishna as a 15-year-old boy, then she can offer, cannot offer him her breast milk. She cannot put him on her lap. She cannot put him to sleep. So, the Vatsalya Rasa can be manifested only when the child is small, especially intense vasanas in the child is small. Similarly, he says the Pauganda Ras is manifested in the the Sakya Ras is manifested in the Pauganda Kala. So the Pauganda Rupa, that is Krishna between the age of 5 and 10, that is the Sakya Rasa Vigraha. Sakya Rasa Vigraha. Why? We see in our life also, we have our friends. And actually, boys in the childhood, they enjoy their friends till they discover girls. As they grow older, and then the hormones start getting secreted, then what happens? then the friendship is not so much among the friends enjoying, the friends are talking about the girl. So then, in that age of adolescence, as it comes up, the friendship between the boys is not just for love of each other. So the Sakhyarasa Vigraha is the Bhogandam. And the gopis, they never see Krishna drinking milk from the Yashoda's breast. Because that rupa is not suitable for their particular relationship with Krishna. So the Madhurya Rasa Vigraha is the Shura. So like that particular form of Krishna is suitable for particular pastimes. And then Anandamaha goes further and describes that just as Krishna is the source of all incarnations, Krishna can manifest Vishnu, Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana. He says, among all the forms of Krishna, the Kishora Roop is the highest. And the Kishora Roop is the source of all the other Roopas. So the eternal form of Krishna is Kishora Roop. But when he comes back home, from that Kishora Roop, the Kumara Roop manifests. And Mother Yashoda, so when he is outside the forest, or whenever he is gopis, he is manifesting as Kishora. But as soon as he enters his house, he manifests as a Kumara. And therefore Mother Yashoda loves him. And in this way, Krishna, he has an eternal form, which is the reservoir of all other forms. And depending on the pastimes which is to be performed, the particular form manifests. So you see the dynamism of Krishna Leela is extraordinary. It is not just a simple activity, but it is profound activity. Profound in activity like this. So in this way Krishna is perfect. But that perfection is dynamic. Okay? Let's move forward. In the Dhamma Sangha. Where is the mic?
In Dhamma Sangha 5.1, there is a similar description of the Supreme Lord. He is described there as such an Ananta Vigraha, which means that he takes the form fully representing Sam Krishna existence. Knowledge and faith. As such, he does not require a separate body or mind and rule in the existence. Vedic literature clearly states that the Lord's transcendental body is completely different from us. Thus, he is sometimes looked at as formless. This means that he has no form like ours and that he is devoid of the form he can conceive of. Ram Kamila, it is further stated that with each and every part of the body he can do work of the other senses. This means that the Lord can walk with his hand, except him with his legs, see with his hands and feet and eat with his eyes, etc. In the Shruti Mantra, it is also said that although the Lord has no hand and leg like ours, he has a different type of hand and leg. By which he can accept all that we offer him and run faster than anyone. Each one is performed in the same mantra to the youth of the world like
Shukram. Shukram is omnipotent. So now? Now we may wonder that Prabhupada said the same points again and again. Earlier also talked about Acharya Vidaya, earlier also talked about non-difference between the form. So but here he is explaining God's omnipotence. His omnipotence says that he can manifest in a form in which the body, mind and soul are not, what is not possible for him. And the same point he will carry on, and then after that, so the same. So Prabhupada uses the omnipotence to explain the devotion. In the next paragraph. Go ahead, who is ready?
The heart's worshipful from Acharya, Bhakti restoring the efforts by other Acharyas who have related the Lord in terms of under the heaven is not different from the original form of the Lord. The Lord's original form is that of Sri Krishna, and Sri Krishna extends himself into an unlimited number of forms such as Vasudeva, Rama, Narasimha, and Varaha. All of these forms are known as the same personality of Godhead. Similarly, the Acharya worship in temples is also an extended form of the Lord. By worshipping the Acharya, one can at once approach the Lord.
could accept the service of devotee by his omnipotent energy. Raja Vidura of the Lord listens at the request of the Acharya. The holy teachers and works exactly the original way of the Lord by virtue of the Lord's omnipotence.
Hey, so?